One of the things that I do a lot of is speak at universities, and that when I lecture at universities, I usually will get a very high number of fundamentalist Christians in the audience. Now, the first time I ever lectured at Binghamton University, I was sponsored by the Chabad and the Hillel at Binghamton. So that when I got there and the room started filling up, and I think there were probably about 130 people in the room, they soon realized that it was probably evenly divided, the audience was probably evenly divided between Jews and Christians. And the Chabad rabbi came over to me, he grabbed my arm and pulled me into the corner immediately and said to me, basically, I don't remember the words, but essentially he was indicating that there might be a pogrom. And he was rather concerned. And I told him that that was not the likely outcome of this evening's lecture. Although I say things that Christians, of course, have to struggle with, but I hope that I'm not offensive. So I told him, really, there's really nothing to be concerned about. And in general, the only people that ask questions are usually the Jews. The Christians almost never ask a question, and certainly will not become really offensive about it. So that's, you probably will find there will not be one of these Christians will ask, and you'll see that after the lecture, when we get to the questions and answers, virtually all the questions are going to come from the Jewish students. And he said, are you sure? And I reassured him a few times, and I had, of course, reassured the Hillel director, because he didn't believe the Chabad. But once we got that clear, the lecture went, and sure enough, after the lecture was over, there was a lot of questions, but you can feel the tenseness in the room, you know, there was this like, you know, and after lectures over, we had virtually all the questions were coming from the Jewish community there that were inside that audience. They were just all Jews. None of the fundamentalist Christians that had come with all their concordances and, you know, and all the things they came with, none of them had a question. And it was like, but the tension was really, you can sense it. And then just as I said, you know, are there any other questions? When I asked, are there any other questions? Noah's hand went up and I said, okay, well, thank you for, and just as I'm saying thank you, and people are, you could see people like inches off their seat, they're like raising themselves up. As they're doing that, a man named Reverend Deke, I don't mind saying that on this recording, he knows he did it. Reverend Deke, who was really Campus Bible Fellowship, he's really the head minister there, and certainly does his part in Jewish evangelism on Binghamton University, suddenly raises his hand. Now, let me tell you, when he raised his hand, there was, I mean, a gasp in the air. And everybody goes down. Everybody goes right back down, right in their seats, and fall in place again. And I said, of course, I said, yes. And then he said, Rabbi, and this is on video, Rabbi, a lot of the things you said tonight, you know, I'm going to have to pray about them, and so on and so forth. But there is one thing, there is one verse, and this, by the way, the lecture I had given that evening was how the missionaries paint Jesus into the Jewish scriptures, which really challenges the Christian. But he said to me, he said, what you're saying, you know, I understand what you're saying, and, you know, I'm going to have to look into it somewhat. But isn't there a place somewhere in the Bible where King David is speaking, and he says that the Lord said to my Lord. Now, King David was the king. There was the kingdom of Israel had not yet become divided. He was the man. Now, he said, my Lord, which is obviously, he said, Jehovah, the one who, the creator of the universe. My Lord, the Lord, Jehovah, said to my Lord. Now, sit thou at my right hand. Who was this person? And I said to him, well, Reverend Deke, let me quote the verse for you accurately. And also, let me tell you, this comes in the book of Psalm 110. And when I said that, you can see all the Jewish students suddenly let out enough air that could have filled up, you know, a helium balloon. It was like a tremendous breath. So I said, because they then, oh, thank God he knows where it is. Okay, there's hope. You know, sometimes you get, you know, the students are really nervous that they're going to, you know, that's all they need, you know. And he quoted a verse come from, and if you have the handout, there are a number of them, but it's the one that starts with Psalm 110, verse 1, Psalm of David. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Clearly, this is the Lord God speaking about the Messiah, referring to the Messiah, and King David refers to the Messiah, who is King David's own child, who must come from the loins of King David. refers to him as my lord. Clearly that this could not be an ordinary child. Clearly you see there that the only Messiah that could possibly fulfill this verse of Psalm 110 could only be Jesus of Nazareth, who was not just the Messiah, but he was also God manifested in the flesh and of course gave his life for our sins. And I turned to Reverend Deke and I said to him, it is obvious that from your question that you do not read a word or understand a word of Hebrew. And I think he like lost about 2 feet right there, and he said, no, I don't. I said, now, how did I know that? Was it a prophecy? No, it wasn't. And I explained to him that had you even understood a word of Hebrew, if you were able to even recognize and distinguish between the different letters within the Hebrew alphabet, it would become clear to you that although in the King James Bible, the translator was very careful to take the first Lord and the second Lord, and I said, those of you who have Bibles, open them up. New American Standard, open them up. Open up your King James. Look at the first word Lord, the second word Lord, and you'll notice that they are identical. They are both L-O-R-D, and the first L is capitalized. Now, although in the English it would appear to us that those are two of the same words, if you looked in the Hebrew, you would notice that they are two entirely different words. And again, you can see just the color coming back to the Jewish students there. They're two entirely different words. The first word, indeed, is God's Jehovah name, so to speak, the Yud K Vav K name. That name is only used for the Almighty God who created the universe. But the second word is entirely different. And those of you who can recognize Hebrew letters will notice that they're entirely different. The second word is La Adoni. La Adoni doesn't necessarily mean that it is sacred, that it is referring to God. On the contrary, it usually means, it almost always means referring to someone else who they want to give respect to. What's interesting is there are no capital letters in the Hebrew language. It's funny, it's sort of our capital letters always wind up at the end of the word rather than the beginning of the word, but the beginning of the words don't begin with anything unusual. The only thing they don't do is they don't begin with end letters. What I've done for you is I've given you the verse as it appears in the King James Bible. You see the power of the translator there. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Look at the first Lord, the second Lord, they're indistinguishable. But look at the left side of David, a psalm. The Lord, the first word is correctly translated, capital L-O-R-D, said to my master, sit thou at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet. By the way, watch how this plays out in the New Testament. This is a polemical verse that actually takes place in the New Testament. And it comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 41 through 46. And there's an interaction that takes place between Jesus and the Pharisees, where Jesus says, what do you think of this verse? Who is it talking about? How could this speaking about? Let's take a look inside. When the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither was any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. That was such a powerful argument that Jesus used against the Pharisees that like blew them out the window. It's an unlikely event because anyone who had even a perfunctory knowledge, a Hebrew school level knowledge of Hebrew, would immediately know that the second word, Lord, and I would ask those of you who are not familiar with this tonight, I hope that you all should by now have a Hebrew-English Tanakh, look it up and you'll see that they're two different words entirely. The writer used two different words because it was intended to be as such. By the way, what is going on over here? Who is King David indeed speaking to? One of the mistakes that people make is that often King David... What was the purpose? Does anybody here know what the purpose was for writing the Psalms? What was the primary function of the Psalms? We talked about how King David was the most illustrious king of the Jewish people. All kings that were righteous were measured against his righteousness. King David was this very, very special person. One of the great... most painful disappointments in King David's life was that the Almighty did not permit him to build the temple. That was something he desperately wanted to do. He wasn't able to do that because his hands were full of righteous blood because he went to war with all the nations. And so when God said, those kinds of hands cannot build, And therefore, it was given to his son. The promise was made to his son that it will be thy son, it will come out of thy seed, and he will build a house for me in my name. Now, although King David didn't physically build the house, he did many things for that house. The house is, first of all, the first time was often referred to as the Temple of David. More importantly, he prepared the materials for that house. He also prepared the songs that were to be read at the temple, on the duchen, on the platform, by the Levites, by the Levium, who would sing these things. And the Levium would stand on their duchen, would stand on their platform and read. That's why we see so many of the Psalms beginning with, this is a song to the Levium, because the Levium actually would stand and read these Psalms on their platform to the Jewish people who were present. And therefore, it was the Levium who would say, the Lord said to my Lord. Therefore, it was the Levium who would say that the Almighty God spoke to my master, which is King David. King David wrote this. This is, by the way, one of the very, I can never say it as well as Nachmanides, the Ramban, says it, but this actually was one of the points that took place in that very famous disputation of 1263.